Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you would help us to hear you today. Now, we need to understand and know the time that we're in. We need to understand and realize how important things are right now. As we go through the scripture, and I'm thinking specifically of Isaiah chapter 50. And as we walk through this, Lord, I understand that your Son, Jesus Christ, is placed in the Old Testament so many places that it is hard for us to not find him. And there are those who would not see it. And that's okay, Father, because we understand who you are and what you're doing. And we praise your name. We thank you, O Lord. But I pray, Father, that there would be those here today who would understand what it means that you have come after 2,000 years, after walking among us, after being in part of what we're doing, dying on the cross, allowing yourself to be killed and slaughtered, and then raising again, changing the tomb into a womb of new life. And you have said, all authority on heaven and earth is given to me. Help us to understand that, that you have come here in this building right now to talk to us and to speak to us, Lord. We recognize the work of your Holy Spirit, and we ask that you would minister to our hearts and help us to understand it. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we said together, amen. Amen. The question I have for you this morning is a very good question. Have you sold yourselves? Have you sold yourselves? Isaiah 50, verses 1 through 2. Isaiah 50, the Lord says, thus says the Lord, where is your certificate of divorce? Your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities, you have sold yourselves. And for your transgressions, your mother has been put away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water, and die of thirst. May God add a blessing to his word. You may be seated. Isaiah is a man who lived at a time when Hezekiah saw the demise of Israel. Judah, the southern nation, survived by the skin of its teeth, by the prayer of a prophet, the prayer of a king. Isaiah lived in this time when people would see God. And you have to understand the time, because Israel was very successful to the north. Israel was a nation that had everything. Great success, it was amazing. They had an economy like none other. They were trading well. They were doing well. They were absolutely amazing. And then the Assyrians came in and destroyed and took. Devastated them. Assyrian rule was hard rule. And then what happened was Hezekiah witnessed as the Assyrians began to descend down on Judah. The two tribes to the south who stayed loyal to God. Judah and Benjamin. And they were down there and they saw the cities of Judah taken by the king and by Sennacherib and all the rest of it. It was a devastating time. I remember reading from the scripture when King Hezekiah, after his revival time, sought and understood and realized that this was the difficulty. And he was very desperate. And this is amazing because it's a time when the people thought they were doing well and they thought that everything was good. He went to the house of God to pray, the king did. They didn't do that. And he laid a letter down on the altar and he said, "My God, look at this letter." And you know, God did an amazing thing. God saw the repentance, saw the change. It was stunning. It really was. Judah was not as strong as Israel. And the king said, "Look at what they've said about you." Because Sennacherib and the rest of them were talking about, "Will God save you? We've defeated the gods." Small g. He did not understand the God of heaven who had actually empowered him. And Hezekiah desperately says, "Lord God, do something." God says to Isaiah, "Go tell him. I heard him. I heard him." And so suddenly the king in his desperate state surrounded Jerusalem is by 185,000 troops holding on. No food, no water, nothing. Just starving Jerusalem out. Jerusalem had no way that they could get anything. And this happens. And Hezekiah says, they say, "The next day we're going in after them. We're going in after them." And they are coming in and they're all around. And Hezekiah does the only thing a king can do. And he says, "Just sharpen your swords. Sharpen your swords, Israel, because they're coming in." And their weapons were not as good as the weapons that were bared against them. And so they did all night long, sharpening their swords. And the daybreak comes. And as the dawn comes up, it's pretty quiet outside. And you look over the walls. And they see 185,000 soldiers dead. In one night, God changed his mind. He didn't change his mind as much as he understood that they realized who he was. This is the time in which Isaiah sees the power of God. Now, I have lived and I have done things and I'm 55. I'll be 56 in September. That's exciting. And I'm a senior citizen now. So every time I go somewhere and say, "A senior's discount?" And they usually say, "Well, yeah, if you're 55. So I'm 55. And I thought that was like not a good thing. And then I realized, wait a minute, I saved $2 on that. Oh, yeah, I'm a senior. Especially at Walmart. Anyway, and I've lived a little bit of time, not a lot, and I've seen things come and go. I've seen twice revivals take place and people say it's amazing. And I've seen people come into this church, in fact, and they're like, tell me, how do I get saved? And they're serious. There are several here this morning who came 10 years ago and 13 years ago and said, how do I get saved? I didn't have to hardly do anything. The Holy Spirit did everything. It was amazing. Miracles and things happening and all of this taking place. And I've been through times where there is great dryness. A great relaxing, and everybody seems to be looking for God. Because He can't be seen. He can't be found. The Lord is not active, so it seems. And I thought about this, and I've wondered, how is that happening, and how does this measure up with Isaiah and everything that he says? And I realized something. When looking at Isaiah chapter 50, I began to understand what God was saying to Israel, what God was speaking to Judah. It seems that, and I'm just saying this as a possibility, that people who listen to Christian radio, 40% of them now don't go to church. That's the highest figure ever. Christian radio. I don't even know what it is for Christian television. They don't even go to church. Because things are so terrible and hard for them. And last year alone, there were people who closed churches. In fact, over 2,000 of them were closed in the United States of America. We're seeing a drifting, and we have seen it for several years. A drifting. And then there's the standard cliche, oh, I remember back in the good old days when God healed this and did that and did that and healed this, and back in the good old days, 10 years ago, back in the good old days. We always seem to gauge God on the miracles He does. And my question is, why? God is not defined by miracles. God is defined by His Word. Less people now are reading through the Bible than ever before. It's important that we understand and note that Isaiah speaks to the people, and really it's like us today. And the question is, why is there very little activity of the Holy Spirit right now? Why is that the case? Well, it's the preacher. The preacher didn't shut up about this and shut up about that. If you just be still and not talk about that, the Holy Spirit could move. That's what most people say. When the preacher has nothing to do with it. How come churches are shrinking? I remember a day when this church had two services, and both services were close to being filled. We've got seats here, some seats over here, and some seats over there, some in the back. Why? Is it always the church's fault? Is it always the pastor's fault? Is it always somebody's fault? Everybody's fault except ours. Why are the acts of God on people, or where are the acts of God on the people of God? Why is there no real compelling activity of the capital S Spirit? Did God's Holy Spirit leave and never come back? Did God's Holy Spirit just take off? What is the meaning? What is He saying to us? As of 2016, last year, over 2,000 churches were closed in America alone. Not just the mainline churches. In fact, the mainline churches are staying open. These are the evangelical churches. If you want to include the mainline, we'd have to go up to 7,000. Closed. Last 5 years. What's God doing? Some would say, well, you know, God is not moving like he used to because this or that or whatever or something in the government. But let me ask you a question. If 40% of the people who listen to Christian radio now don't go to church, then whose fault is it? Is it the politician's fault? Or is it the people's fault? And if it's the people's fault, whose people's fault is it? The people who don't believe in God or the people who do? This is exciting, preaching a message like this, isn't it? Doesn't it make you feel good and you're ready to go charge? And it's not exciting, but it's the truth. How do we deal with this? The time when people are turning away from God is now. Many people are saying, well, God's too hard. I serve God to see what I can get, and every time I get something, I don't. I'm always looking for something else, and I can't, because the need inside of you is that godliness with contentment. Everybody say with contentment. Oh, isn't that a great, that's a great phrase, isn't it? Godliness with contentment. That's not godliness with a Ferrari. Nope. It's not godliness with all kinds of money. Nope. Godliness with contentment. The emphasis on godliness with contentment. In fact, Paul told Timothy in chapter 6, he said, some have actually gone away from the faith because of their money. That's in the Bible. Of course, you don't hear that from people, but that's in the Bible. So the question is, where is the Christianity happening? The East, there is much Christian activity. China. Russia. Oh, there's all kinds of Christian activity. Most of the world. Did you know that China and Russia together, I mean, this is amazing, are nearly 4 billion people, over half the earth, those two nations? The truth is that why has God turned his Holy Spirit off when we need him so badly right now? Does anybody feel that? Okay, that's why, because only three people raise their hands. I raise my hand. It's important for us to recognize and realize the Word of God. See, 1 Kings 15 shows us something important about the eyes of the Lord. Everybody say eyes. Eyes. What does that mean? That means your eyes. You see with your eyes. And this is a time when Jeroboam was the king of Israel. He says, in the 20th year of Jeroboam, the king of Israel to the north, Asa, A-S-A, became the king over Judah. And he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was Malkah. And the granddaughter of Abishalom. Now listen to this word. In verse 11 it says, Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He did what was right in the eyes of... Pay attention to that. Because this is very important. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David. The man who had massive problems with his family. But David had a repentant heart. And this is what he did. He banished the perverted persons from the land. This is God's country. This is the church. God's people. He put a negative on perversion. He did not accept it. There's a lot of people today who are emphasizing the acceptance of sin. Sins in the church. Just modify the Bible. Change it just a little bit. Just modify it. What if I said to you that the church is accepting adultery? In fact, they not only accept it, they celebrate it. What if I said to you, they accept witchcraft? They celebrate and say, well, I serve the church of witchcraft. What if I said to you, they accept stealing? I accept stealing. There are sins that are sins that God does not like for a reason. He banished the perverted persons from the land, and he removed all the idols that his father had made. Also, he removed Malika, his grandmother, from being queen mother. It was personal. Because she had made an obscene image of Asherah, that's a god. And Asa cut down her obscene image, and he burned it by the brook of Kidron. Cut it down and burned it. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord all his days, and he also brought into the house of the Lord the things which his father had dedicated, the things which he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. You begin to see the work of a man who chooses in the church. In the church. Not in the land. These are God's people. These are kings of Judah. We need to get it. We need to get it. The truth from these words is when we do what is right and we worship only God, then God begins to bless us to his will. Amen. Thank you. It's important to understand that because when we go to the words of Isaiah chapter 50, it says, thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce? Did you know that God uses marriage as his example of the people of God and God? He uses marriage. Very important. Because marriage is the one thing where you can get as close to somebody as possible. Today, nobody gets married. 46% of the people get married, and it's going down. It's no wonder so many people don't understand God. Why is that? Why is it that in this time, where it used to be 8%, it's now 4% who read the Bible? Why is that? Where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Did God sell you? For your iniquities, you have sold yourselves. And for your transgressions, your mother has been put away. Notice these are transgressions of God's people. And the iniquities of God's people. It's not everybody else's iniquity. It's the people of God. It's us. Us. It's not the government. It's us. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there none to answer? If God calls us, do we answer him? If God says, I want you to go here or go there, do we answer him? Well, I don't know, Lord. I mean, I spent all my life building a place here, and I don't know if I want to go over there. I don't know if, you know, I'm not sure that you called me to do that. Really? Who is the Lord of your life? Three people said it. Who is the Lord of your life? Okay. The Lord of your life tells you something. What do you do? You do it. Period. When I called, there was none to answer. In my hand, is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem? Can God save us? Thank you. Can God redeem us? Can God heal us? Can God help us? Then why is he not?
2 Chronicles 7:14.
If my people humble themselves and pray, but not just pray, turn from their wicked ways. Oh my goodness. Pray. Everybody stops. Just pray. No, I got to pray. Turn from your wicked ways. Come away from evil. Then I will heal their land. It's God talking to his people. That's 2 Chronicles. That's very important. Back to the scripture. Or have I no power to deliver? Can God deliver us?
Yes.
Okay. Indeed, with my rebuke, God says, I will dry up the sea. Have you seen the oceans? They're gigantic. They're huge. They're bigger than any continent. There's more water here than there is land. God can dry that up by saying it. I will make the rivers a wilderness. When you drive through the land, do you see the rivers? God can just say the word and it's changed. If you believe that, you understand what he's saying in the scripture. He can make the fish stink because there is no water and die of thirst. He says, I clothe the heavens with blackness. When you look at the sky at night and you see the black between the stars, understand that he will make sackcloth their covering. What's the first point? Very simple. God speaks to us and says to us, for your iniquities, you have sold yourselves. We need to get serious with God. We need to. Pastor Don has preached it from this pulpit. And I've said it. I got a few more weeks and I'll say it. We need to come to God and get serious with him. God is changing us. And God has backed off. And God has said, I'm here, but you're going to have to show me you want me. See, it's important for us to recognize that we were lost with no hope. But Jesus Christ came to us to give us salvation. Some people don't feel lost. The scripture continues, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. Now, this is something he's changed his sentence here, and he's talking about someone. Listen carefully to who he's talking about. The Lord God has given me, capital M-E, the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak. A word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Who's he talking about? The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me. I gave my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Who's he talking about? That's the Old Testament, 700 years before Christ. Listen, God sent Jesus Christ, who did not turn away from the cost of sin. So why should we turn away from the cost of following Christ? There is a cost. There is a cost in your friends, where you go, what you watch on television, what you see in the movies that you pay money for. There is a cost. Because you want to keep yourself pure. Because you hear the scripture when it says, "Be holy as I am holy." God separates us. We have chosen to follow God. Important for us to recognize and realize that Jesus sacrificed himself for our sins and did not turn away. He understood better than anyone what our sins did. He did not turn away, and we must respond to him now. It is easy to say, "Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord." It is very hard to follow Jesus. He said, "The gate is narrow, not wide. Few people will go into it." The scripture says, "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed." Man, Jesus Christ is serious. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? I want to tell you something. When God said, "It is finished," I mean to tell you, he finished it. Jesus Christ did the work. He finished it. Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? No one. No one. Let him come near me. Surely the Lord will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? No one. Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. You know, I remember thinking, I saw this movie when I was a kid. I was about seven, and I was in California. No, it was about eight. And, you know, came home and watched all the TV black and white films, and I watched this one black and white film, and it was called The Fountain of Youth. And everybody was searching for the fountain of youth. Get to the fountain, drink of the fountain of youth, you'll live forever. It's a big deal, you know. And I remember thinking, fountain of youth, I wish I could get the fountain of youth. And today, now I'm like, I don't know. Because I know I have a new body in heaven. I have the greatness of Jesus Christ as my partner. I already have a fountain of youth. And so do you. You don't need the fountain of youth. I tell you, make a new one for you. In 160,000 years, mark this down because we'll do it. In 160,000 years, I'll have coffee with you on the west end of Jerusalem. How's that one? You see, understand that we have to realize God speaks to us, and the physical will grow old and die. But sometimes we need to realize that when we're 98 years old or when we're 100 years old, you know, sometimes we need to stop being healed by God because, I mean, it's just not going to continue on. But our spirit is well. I was with somebody yesterday. And they talked to me. I heard them. I heard their spirit. I heard the frustration underneath the dementia. I heard them. Underneath the physical struggles. Doesn't matter whether you have dementia, trimentia, quadruple dementia, doesn't matter. None of that matters. If you know Jesus Christ now, God will keep you. You will be preserved in your spirit. Very important. Jesus Christ is not old. You know, he was crucified when he was, we figure, 33. 33. How many people here are 33 years old? Raise your hand. Anybody here 33? Raise your hand if you're 33. Ryan? Was Ryan here? Oh, he went up. Oh, there, Ryan. Okay, he's 33. Anybody else here 33 besides Ryan? Tim is 33. Anybody else? No, being 33 once doesn't count right now.
33 times 2.
33 is the optimum age, so it seems. So Jesus Christ was crucified when he was 33. He did everything exactly like God wanted it. He rose again when he was 33. Isn't that interesting? I'm 56. Well, 55, but I'll be 56. We need to understand that Jesus Christ is not old. He is strong, and he will help us if we repent right now. Right now. You say, well, Rod, I mean, how do I repent? What do I do? I mean, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure how to do this. I mean, turn to Acts, or turn to Romans, okay? Romans chapter 10. Here we go. Romans chapter 10. Everybody turn your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, why not? Why not? Get your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, why not? You're in church. By the way, it doesn't matter. You can use your cell phone if you have a Bible in it. Chapter 10. Chapter 10. And this is important. So everybody who needs it, put your glasses on. And we're going to start at verse 8. It says, listen, but what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. This is how you get saved. Understand that. It's how you get saved. Here it comes. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Father God, I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Lord, I know you raised him from the dead. Help my unbelief. I know you did. Then you will be saved. Hallelujah. And if you mean that, if you believe that, if you say that, you are saved. Yeah. Understand that. It's in the Bible. It's always been in the Bible. Before this country was ever a country, it's in the Bible. For 2,000 years, it's been in the Bible. Understand that. For with the heart, one believes and is justified. With the mouth, one confesses and is saved. Heart and mouth, heart and mouth, heart and mouth. Very important. And one of the things that has been sacrificed in today's world to the end of the degree is the heart and the mouth. That's the thing that Satan has messed up. The heart and the mouth. Because that's the reason and that's the way you come to know Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray today that you would help us to hear you. We need to come to Jesus Christ. So we come and we say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're Lord, and I believe you died on the cross and rose again. Help us, O God, to do that. Everybody in this room, pray and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe you are Lord. I believe that you rose from the dead after crucified. I believe that you took my sin away, gave me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 50, verses 10 to 11, finish the chapter. Who among you fears the Lord? Good. About 5, 6, 7 people. Let me ask again. Who among you fears the Lord? Okay. Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in the darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Who relies upon the God of heaven? I do. Nothing I do is any good. Nothing I do. But when I act and God is in me, then that's good. I need you to understand this because this is important. This is the whole self-respect issue, the whole self. You need to go, love yourself before. Okay, I got it. I can't love myself. I can't. I can't do it. But God loves me. I love God, and through God, I can love myself. Very important. Now listen carefully. Look, all you who kindle a fire, these are the elements of an occult, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks you have kindled, this you shall have from my hand. Listen carefully. Especially people who don't believe in hell. I want you to listen to the scripture. And you can look it up 17 different ways, 18 different ways, doesn't matter. But this is what it says. You shall lie down in torment. Torment. Not death, not lights out. Torment. That's what the scripture says. Stand with me. What I've said today is the truth. It's from the Word of God. It's from Isaiah chapter 50. 11 verses. That's what Isaiah said. I've highlighted one time, and there's many in the scripture when you can read about the eyes of the Lord. It is not important. It is not important what somebody on Facebook or Twitter thinks of you. I got like 3 amens. I don't care what you think. It is important that you are saved under Jesus Christ. It is important that God sees his work in you. And his work is in the Bible. You need to read it. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace as he writes his name on your life this week. God bless you. Go in the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ. If you need prayer, we're here at the altar.